offering.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The federal government shut down. House Speaker Mike Johnson says it's the fault of congressional Democrats.
44 Senate Democrats voted to reject a clean, nonpartisan continuing funding resolution to keep the United States government open. The Democrats said instead that they wanted to give health care to illegal aliens instead of keeping critical services provided for the American citizens.
House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries says that's just not true.
Federal law prohibits the use of Medicare, Medicaid, the Children's Health Insurance Program, and the Affordable Care Act to provide health insurance in any way, shape, or form to undocumented immigrants. Period. Full stop. That's the law. And Democrats aren't trying to change that.
He says Democrats are holding out for health care subsidies that will go to millions of U.S. citizens. Walmart today says it plans to remove synthetic food dyes from its store brands by January 2027. 69 people killed in a strong earthquake in the Philippines. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Three people died in a fiery crash Saturday morning. Around 10:35, the Sauk County Communications Center received a call for a single vehicle traffic accident on Coon Bluff Road, just north of County Highway P in Dolona Township. Preliminary reports indicated that a vehicle was northbound on Coon Bluff Road at a high rate of speed, lost control, and entered a wooded area. The vehicle immediately started on fire. During the investigation, it was discovered there were three occupants in the vehicle. All three subjects sustained fatal injuries. Names of the deceased are being withheld at this time. Wisconsin students got a very special history lesson on Monday at Madison's Forest Hill Cemetery. Wisconsin Veterans Museum Education Director Eric Wright says the Talking Spirits Tour brought four living history actors to help educate students on the lives of soldiers during and after World War II. Wright says bringing in the actors to share these stories is much more impactful than simply reading facts at a grave marker. Some of the stops on the tour include a Madison doctor who survived the Battle of Buffalo Wallo in the Philippines during the Pacific Campaign, and a Fond du Lac soldier who was rescued from a German POW camp. Battery charges have been upgraded to homicide charges after the victim of an attack outside Camp Randall Stadium died. 33-year-old Keith Jones was arrested last weekend on initial charges of aggravated battery and robbery. Jones allegedly assaulted and seriously injured another person in the Southside parking lot early in the morning, September 20th. The victim in the attack died last week, and UW-Madison police have sent upgraded first-degree homicide charges to the Dane County District Attorney's Office. Jones is still in jail on a probation hold. The victim has not been identified. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Packers reevaluate. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers having their bye week. Now, after losing to the Browns last week, how are they reacting to Sunday night's game with the Cowboys ending in a tie? Head coach Matt LaFleur.
Right now, it feels like kind of like a kick in the gut. It definitely feels more like a loss than anything else. I think what's disappointing is when you have opportunities to win games, which we had an opportunity in both games to win the game. And when you don't win the game, it's disappointing.
College football, following losses to Alabama and Maryland, the Wisconsin Badgers head to Michigan on Saturday. Luke Fickell.
We know we have to get better. There's a process to getting better. We have to see some of those steps to getting better. But there's no way of doing it if you can't stay together and you can't keep your mind going in a direction. I always say positive, but going in a direction that gives us a chance to get better.
That's the Badgers head coach Luke Fickell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
It is going to be another partly cloudy, warm day today. Our high right around 79 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We'll drop into the mid to upper 50s. Tomorrow, sunny, a little breezier with a high in the low to mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 56.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters.
Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Heather Williams, she's president of the Democratic Legislative Campaign Committee.
We have our spotlight races. We share them on our website. You can head to dlcc.org. And they are excellent places for people who want to get involved. And frankly, who know that we are not going to win this election on vibes. Like, we have to get out and do the work. And we must communicate with our neighbors, with our community. We must show up for people. Not only do they deserve it, but they expect it.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, should the government bail out our farmers because of the tariff policies instituted by our government? We talked to Darren Von Ruden in hour number two. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. News from the Center, WRCE.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
One more hour from the Lake Wissota studio before we start a little road trip for the next few days. Looking forward to joining you as I do a little bit of traveling here. But from up here in Chippewa Falls, it's nice to have you along across the Civic Media Radio Network on this Wednesday morning, first day of October. First day for some big news up here in the 7th Congressional District. Tom Tiffany, the incumbent Republican congressman, has decided to run for governor. That has opened up this congressional district. It's an open race right now, and people are beginning to position themselves for a run on the Democratic and Republican sides. And we will be breaking a little news about the 7th Congressional District 2026 election coming up starting less than a half hour from now, 8:35. So you're going to want to come on back and hear what we have to say about big news up north. We've got Earl Ingram standing by as well to tell us about the What's Going On podcast that he can get you at civicmedia.us. First, a note that we'd love to have you sign up for our Up North News daily newsletter. Head to upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe in the banner on top of the homepage. In today's edition, there's a link to my story about the new backdoor abortion ban that is in place. Planned Parenthood has stopped providing abortion services, at least temporarily, in Wisconsin. Because it turns out that in Donald Trump's big bloated boondoggle, there's also a provision in there that halts all Medicaid funding to Planned Parenthood, even for their non-abortion health services. And that's going to take away a lot of funding for things like, basic physicals and blood tests and STD screening and early detection of cancer and all the many, many things that Planned Parenthood does. So it's being challenged in court. But until then, essentially, you have a backdoor abortion ban in place in the United States, at least here in Wisconsin, from Planned Parenthood. And details you can find over in our newsletter, again, upnorthnewswi.com. And in our Sunday morning newsletter, our question of the week is about the government shutdown, which started overnight at midnight. And how does this thing end? Do Democrats cave in and just accept all of these massive cuts that Republicans want? Or do they use their leverage and win the restoration of some of those cuts, either with the president caving in or with Republicans and Democrats coming up with something together and even overriding a Donald Trump veto? So where's this thing going? What's your best guess? That's our question of the week. And you get the first look at it by signing up for our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. At 8:09, let's welcome in Earl Ingram from the What's Going On podcast. You can get that over at civicmedia.us, and we'll talk more about what's on the show, but certainly some of the other matters that are happening, not the least of which are some of the cuts that come from Trump's big bloated boondoggle. Earl, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Pat. How are you?
I'm doing fine as well. But, you know, we explained in the last hour, again, we just talked about cuts to Planned Parenthood. We've talked about cuts to training special education teachers. We've talked about cuts to deaf-blind students. Again, all in the name of attacking DEI, because apparently helping special education kids and helping kids who are deaf and blind is somehow special treatment. And you've got experience with some of these things that are going to be cut as well.
Well, thanks again, Pat, for the opportunity. But my wife and I are treatment foster parents. We took in a disabled child 22 years ago who was born with half a brain, who requires 24-hour care. That young boy that we took in is now a 24-year-old man who still requires 24-hour care. He will his entire life. He doesn't have the capacity to live on his own. And so through Medicaid and some programs inside of that, it helps us in trying to offer this young man the best quality of life that he can possibly get. He could be institutionalized, which is one of the reasons why they created programs to give these special people an opportunity at the best possible lives they could have. And right now, under the big, beautiful bill, there are major cuts that are looming to many of these programs. And I just don't think people are really aware of the impacts of the big, beautiful bill and what is coming down the pike. And so if you are fortunate enough that you don't have to be involved with Medicaid and those kinds of things, then count yourself as being fortunate and lucky. But there are many people who that's the only lifeline that they have. And our nation ought to be ashamed of itself if we allow these kinds of things to happen to people who are already up against it because of through no fault of their own being born in the manner that they have been.
Well, and that's the thing here is we're not talking about preference based on somebody's condition. We're talking about dignity based on somebody's condition and making sure that, they have either the opportunity to live, the opportunity to be healthy, the opportunity to be educated. There's nobody that's giving them some kind of an extra advantage. These are the things that we think we would like to do if it was happening right in front of us, right on the street corner. But thankfully, these folks don't have to live on a street corner when we have programs like these that can take care of them. And so it defies any easy explanation. It's either a lack of caring and compassion for folks who have disabilities, and or it is such an immense sense of greed that you will literally, take money, take food off people's tables to pay for tax cuts for the very well off and hope that those benevolent billionaires will somehow take care of you. I don't know if I feel like it's one or the other. It feels like a little bit of both, Earl.
Well, when it's been characterized as a handout. And so when people hear a handout right away without knowing anything about it, they've been led to believe that they're just takers. And so they've put this group of people, disabled people, in the category of takers. And it's dreadful to think about where we're going with this. There's nowhere else to turn. So what do? We cast these people out, and those of us who have dedicated our lives to taking on a tremendous responsibility to try to give people, as you stated so well, dignity in their lives. So those of us who are doing this work, we're going to be left to kind of handle this on our own. I think it's just nonsensical.
That's putting it mildly. We're talking to Earl Ingram. You can learn more about the What's Going On with Earl Ingram podcast at civicmedia.us/shows. I want to say one more thing about this whole notion of handouts. And we may have touched on this previously, but I think it bears repeating because I always use the example of Ronald Reagan's so-called welfare queens and talking about waste, fraud, and abuse. And we're hearing that again this week, all the waste, fraud, and abuse that's out there. Waste, fraud, and abuse are already illegal or against the rules. There are already ways to sniff it out, to deny benefits, to prosecute people. So if you really believed that something like that was going on, you'd go after those folks. And I admit, it only takes one person, one example of somebody abusing the system for other people to get cynical and think, oh, everybody must be living high off the hog that way. But there's always going to be people that try to game the system. But this is just the worst case of throwing the baby out with the bathwater because you don't like how a couple of people benefit from this program.
Well, if you want to talk about waste, fraud, and abuse on the grandest level, look at our military budget. You know, and there's no comparison with the dollars that are being abused and wasted on that level than there are with people who are in these other programs. You know, the other thing I wanted to talk about quickly in one of the latest podcasts is the street takeovers and that are taking place across this nation. And what they are, for people who aren't aware, is they... It, 2-3 o'clock in the morning, a group of young people think it makes sense to organize and pull into some of the busiest intersections of our city and basically just have a party at 3 o'clock in the morning with cars, powerful cars, doing donuts, fireworks, drinking, smoking weed, and doing all sorts of illegal things. 300-400 people gathered. They do this thing via the internet, and you know it's more than what cities can handle. And so we had a discussion about that on the latest podcast about what is it about the generation that thinks this makes sense. And so I had a discussion with my producer who is from the generation of young people who are doing these kind of things to try to get an understanding of what their mindset really is.
Well, I hope that he was able to shed some light on it because, look, we all go through that age range and we all do things that we look back on and think they were a combination of rebellious and stupid. But it takes it to a different level when you're endangering people by doing what you do on city streets and in intersections, especially with, you know, law enforcement that is already running on tight budgets and everything. So, again, I don't pretend to know what the alternatives are on this, but I don't know that it's something you just hope everybody gets tired of it and moves on to something else. It's a bigger problem than that, it seems.
Well, you know, when he kind of told me about influencers, and at the root of all of it is influencers. And so this is the insanity of it. People do this to get people to follow them, and they become famous people for being influencers, for whatever that means. But it certainly doesn't make any sense.
No, but it goes back to, I mean, from the earliest days of television. Everybody wants to be on TV. Everybody wants to be on a screen, and they're willing to go along with pretty much anything. And I tell you, one of the words in the social media era I wish had never come along was challenge, because we always hear about the blank challenge. And next thing you know, somebody's either ingested too much of something and died, or they've engaged in some kind of an extreme selfie and they've died, or, you know, whatever influencers are doing to attract crowds now that can lead to, again, disruptions of lives and, you know, much worse. So I'm looking forward to the discussion that you're having. It's part of the What's Going On with Earl Ingram podcast. Get the details over at civicmedia.us. Click on shows and you'll learn more about it. Earl, I appreciate you bringing some insight to this very much and to the budget cuts as well, and look forward to chatting with you next week. Thanks for the visit.
Always great to talk to you.
All right. Thank you, Earl, very much. Again, the What's Going On with Earl Ingram podcast, you can find it at civicmedia.us/shows. A local news update is coming up next for some of you. Others will catch my conversation with Melissa Baldoff for our weekly climate check and talking about the Trump administration making a big investment this week in green energy. No, and going back to coal. Yeah, for real. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Powered by friendship, fun, and manager Murph's Pocket Pancakes, the Milwaukee Brewers have a new franchise regular season record of 97 wins. Congratulations.
Unreal.
Now it's on to the postseason.
The summer of Sal, maybe the fall of Freeland.
Catch all the action on your station for the Brewers in October. 107.7 FM, 1450 AM, WRCE.
From Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh, my goodness, a powerful run to the house.
And Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress, and it's a safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Join us Saturday. The Badgers are in the big house to battle Michigan. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 107.7 FM, 1450 AM, WRCE.
Seems like nobody in America agrees on much of anything these days.
But can we agree the federal government shouldn't tax people into poverty?
If you work full-time, you should be able to afford your basic needs. Don't you think? We're the Patriotic Millionaires.
We believe your full-time job should cover what it costs to live. We think your first $45,000 of income should be tax-free.
And multimillionaires?
We should pay more to fund your tax cut. Go to first45taxfree.com to learn more. A working-class tax cut paid for by millionaires. That's an idea we can all agree on.
We're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Phil Nee with Logan Sports in Southwest Wisconsin. It was a happy homecoming Tuesday night for the Richland Center girls volleyball team after they won in five sets over Dodgeville. The Dodgers won the opening set 25-20 before Richland Center took the second and third by scores of 25-19 and 25-20. Dodgeville forced a fifth and deciding set with a 25-20 win in the fourth. Richland Center put together a strong finish to win 15-6 in the final. It was Richland Center's fourth five-set match in Southwest Wisconsin Conference play. The Hornets are now 5-2 in the league, and Dodgeville fell to 3-4. The win also avenged a five-set loss at Dodgeville earlier in the season. Senior Danica Pauls had 15 kills in the match, including four in the last set. Senior libero player Tatum Razick led the back row, and senior setter Rainey Walsh had a strong night with a assists. Senior Taylor Wirtz had key points, including a kill in the final go-around, and freshman Adeline Wirtz had an ace in the fifth. It was a great team effort for the Hornets on the way to the victory. Richland Center JV1 and JV2 teams both continue to have strong seasons, and both swept the Dodgers in earlier matches. River Valley was a winner by sweep over Prairie du Chien, and Platteville swept Lancaster. Elsewhere, at DeSoto last evening, a couple of losses for Ithaca as they fell on the season, now with three losses overall. A 3-0 loss to Seneca, and DeSoto defeated the Bulldogs 3-0. Weston fell to both DeSoto and Seneca as well last night in three sets. Lexi Rockweiler finished the night with 12 kills and 22 digs. Valerie Bauer finished with 17 assists. And Khalees Siebenaller finished with 19 digs. Weston off until next Tuesday when they travel to Waseca. Elsewhere, it was a win for Hillsboro in four sets over Bangor. Waniwak Center swept Nisida. Royal 3-0 over New Lisbon.
Wisconsin Heights, 3-2 winners against Belleville, and Sparta 3-0 over La Crosse Logan. It was a happy homecoming for the Richland Center soccer team last night. The RC boys picked up a 1-0 homecoming victory over Dodgeville Mineral Point. Richland Center and Dodge Point were tied scoreless for a long stretch of the game before Richland Center popped in a goal and made it stand up. River Valley was a 2-1 winner over the Prairie du Chien Co-op School. McFarland, 3-0 over Reedsburg. Wanakee edged Baraboo 2-1. Stoughton, 8-0 over Portage Poinette. And Toma was a 2-0 winner over Sparta. The Riverdale High School football team picked up its first victory of the year on Saturday against Pecatonica Argyle. IS head coach Jeff Johnson of Riverdale about that win.
Again, just like the other games, we came out with tremendous intensity, but we really played a full, complete game in all three phases, offense, defense, and special teams. It's a total team effort. Every single player on both sides of the ball contributed, but I got to give the credit really to the coordinators and the assistant coaches. My job really is to manage, but these guys are doing the work. Caleb and Dalton had a tremendous game plan, and the kids executed.
Who did you give the game balls to last week in the win over Pecatonica Argyle, Jeff?
Oh, my gosh. You know, again, total team effort. But on the line, Blake Dickman, he never came off the field until late in the fourth quarter. Tremendous effort on his part. The offensive line, we had two running backs go over 100 yards. Brody Meese pretty much carried the team on both sides of the ball, did a tremendous job. But every single kid contributed. But there's one guy that stands out. So shout out to Eli Campbell, who broke, I think, a 19- or 20-year-old field goal record, kicked a 40-yard field goal, set a new school record.
That is incredible. I mean, you don't line up for 40-yarders very often and have people take you serious, but it sounds like the Chieftains can do that.
Yeah, he could probably go out to 44, 45, 46 yards.
Riverdale football coach Jeff Johnson. It's homecoming week at Riverdale, and the Chieftains will host Boscobel for homecoming football on Friday night. Powder Puff women's bowling action last night. Top series, Scott King Trucking, 1,803. Walmart, 1,770. The Phoenix Center, 1,763. Scott King Trucking, 649. Phoenix Center, 630. Walmart, a 615. Top individual series, Katie Davison with a 485. Christine Haiti, 483. Cheryl McNerland, a 468. Barb Wood had the top game, 185. Katie Davison, a 182. Christine Haiti, a 175. And Cheryl McNerland picked up a 310 split in the Powder Puff League. The Brewers' top minor league hitter and pitcher have been named. Jesus Mate and Tyson Harden are winners of the Robin Yount Performance Award. Harden was switched from reliever to starter and finished the season with a 6-5 record and an ERA of 2.72. He's rated among the team's top minor league prospects. This week, the Brewers are resting and preparing for the upcoming series against either the Cubs or the Padres. Pat Murphy says that the Brewers are looked upon as underdogs.
There's nobody on television saying, hey, the Brewers are the odds-on favorite. Matter of fact, I saw that we're not even like the top five. You know what I mean? Perfect. Can't win without homers. Like, the team with the number of homers, are they playing in the postseason? I don't know. I don't even follow that. I know just play good, winning baseball. Good things will happen.
Brewer manager Pat Murphy, his team getting set for the weekend and resting this week as opposed to playing. That's always a debate.
No, I think it does matter, but not to the point where, you know, if you've got a great racehorse and that racehorse is capable of winning the race and you've got a real experienced racehorse that might not be at their best and they're not capable of winning the race, you know, you've got to kind of tinker with both. You know, this one can bring you this and this one could possibly bring you this, but you can't, if it doesn't get out of the gate and you can't give it too big a leash. That's kind of, I think experience is important.
Yesterday, the Cubs defeated San Diego 3-1 and the Dodgers over Cincinnati 10-5. And in the American League playoffs, Detroit 2-1 over Cleveland, Boston 3, and the Yankees 1. WNBA play last night in overtime. Las Vegas beat Indiana 107-98. The Wisconsin men's basketball program has made a significant change to its coaching staff. Assistant head coach Kirk Penny has returned to his home in New Zealand after playing a role in creating one of the best Badger offenses offensive efforts in history. Badger Blitz reports that the nearly 81 points a game scored last season was the top effort in more than 50 years. Penny will be replaced by former guard Brad Davison, who has been playing in Europe. Coach Greg Gard says his return is an absolute win for the program. I am Phil Nee with an update on sports here from the local and state and national scene during Pat Kreitlow Mornings. Thanks for tuning in to WRCE today and enjoy your Wednesday in Southwest Wisconsin.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home of the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Standardized assessment results released by the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction show a slight increase in student performance in both English language arts and mathematics during the 2024-25 school year. According to data from the Wisconsin Student Assessment System, which includes the Forward Exam, Dynamic Learning Maps, the Pre-ACT Secure, and the ACT, 47.7% of students in all tested grades met or exceeded expectations in ELA, while 48.6% did so in mathematics on tests administered in spring 2025. Statewide data also shows performance gaps among different student subgroups continue to exist. The Forward Exam assesses students in grades 3 through 8 in ELA and mathematics. Starting last year, the test started including a separate reading score within the ELA assessment, aligning with Wisconsin's ongoing efforts to strengthen literacy and improve student outcomes. In the 2024-25 school year, public school students showed a slight improvement in reading performance, with overall Forward scores in reading rising by 0.3 percentage points over the previous year. Students participating in private school choice programs saw a 2.5 percentage point decline in reading performance on the Forward. On the ELA portion of the Forward, public school students saw a 0.5 percentage point increase in performance, while students in choice programs experienced a 2.3 percentage point decline. In mathematics, public school performance dipped slightly by 0.3 percentage points, and choice student performance declined by 2.7 percentage points. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. It can be hard for a filmmaker or artist to watch material they've created or were a part of. Sometimes it's because they watch it so much while making it, they just don't feel the need. But in the case of actor Paul Bettany, he can't watch A Knight's Tale anymore because of Heath Ledger, despite the film being a breakout role for Bettany, according to Yahoo News. The Da Vinci Code actor said recently at Comic-Con LA that he just misses his friend Ledger, who he called a playful, joyous spirit. The two bonded on the 2001 film in which Bettany plays Geoffrey Chaucer, and he says he has not seen it once since. Tubi is on fire. The streamer, which is mostly free, has dipped its toes into pro sports and is now doing a cannonball off the high dive. Tubi will be part of the Thanksgiving Day NFL extravaganza and air your Green Bay Packers against the Detroit Lions. It will be a simulcast with Fox Sports. Fox acquired Tubi in 2020. The streamer also has tons of great free movies if you don't mind a few ads. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
It is going to be another partly cloudy, warm day today. Our high right around 79 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We'll drop into the mid to upper 50s. Tomorrow, sunny, a little breezier with a high in the low to mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 56.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. For complete rules, go to civicmedia.us.
where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Civic Media host Greg Bach joins me to discuss the Milwaukee Comedy Festival. Then Civic Media's Catherine Lake talks about a big movie screening in Madison, and actor Dan Davies drops by. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
The decision by Congressman Tom Tiffany to run for governor means there will now be an open race for Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, which takes up a good chunk of the northern third of Wisconsin. It was represented by Dave Obie for 40-some years, Sean Duffy after that, and Tom Tiffany currently. But with him running for governor, it opens it up with Republicans and Democrats talking amongst themselves about who should be running and who could serve as the next member of Congress from up north. One of the people who's been doing a lot of talking about that, a lot of traveling, connecting with people, is actually a former legislator from the Baraboo area, but who relocated to northern Wisconsin a number of years ago. And I mean, if you want to know about the North Woods, you got to talk to a guy that really knows woods, and nobody knows the woods like Fred Clark. He is a senior forester. He has served as a senior forester with the Department of Natural Resources, as an ecologist with the Nature Conservancy. He's been a consulting forester. He has served on the Wisconsin Council on Forestry, the Wisconsin Council on Tourism, briefly on the State Natural Resources Board. He knows a thing or two about how to make sure that the North Woods is good for business, is good for tourism, and is good to our resources. And maybe it's time that the North Woods is good for representation in Congress as well. So Fred Clark joins us now to tell us more about what's happening in the 7th. Fred, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Pat. Really good to see you. It's a wonderful morning here in the fall in the North Woods.
It really is. And so, I mean, nobody understands the task ahead like you, and I'm sure that other people have expressed interest in this as well. But where did you ultimately come down on your own decision about what to do in the 7th District?
Yeah, well, thanks for asking. You know, I spent a good part of this summer with some friends just traveling the 7th Congressional District. And as most of your listeners know, it's a huge district. This is about a third of Wisconsin, our entire North Woods, parts of 26 counties. And we just wanted to, after talking among ourselves and following all of the drama coming out of Washington, we just decided to get on the road and try to put a pulse on what people were thinking about and talking about. We went to Marshfield and to Wausau and Merrill and Tomahawk and Rhinelander and Hayward and Spooner and Webster and Hudson. Had a lot of conversations with a lot of people to figure out what concerns are sort of rising to the top for the communities around northern Wisconsin, and what people are looking for out of representation. And this is at a time when Congressman Tom Tiffany was basically missing in action. He was not holding public events. Some of these really momentous decisions, like the big billionaire's bill that came out of Washington that he voted for, he simply wasn't willing to stand up and account for himself in public. And we learned a lot from those trips, and it really helped me, after a lot of thought, make a decision that I think the time is right to stand up and make the case for new representation in Congress in northern Wisconsin.
So you're in.
I'm in. The candidacy starts today.
All right. You've done some of the prep work already. There's a website up, clark4wi.com. Again, clark4wi.com, where people are going to learn more about you and more about the issues. I gave a bit of an introduction that stressed your forestry roots, but you did serve a number of years in the legislature. And so tell us a bit more about, you know, your time there and the priorities that you brought to Madison that you'd now like to bring to Washington.
Sure. Thanks for asking. You know, for many years, I lived in Baraboo, a town in Sauk County, north of Madison. From there, I ran a forestry consulting and contracting business. In fact, one of my very first jobs, my first year in business, was marking timber up here for the Shawamigan-Nicolet National Forest. But in that work, I just became more and more involved in conservation as well as community leadership. And in 2008, I took a long shot and ran for the state assembly seat that includes the communities of Baraboo and Portage and Montello, perfect farm and forest country. I'd never had a political background before, but again, it was an opportunity for me to learn more and provide service to an important community that really meant a lot to me. I won a Republican-held seat. I did that with a lot of crossover voters from Republicans and Democrats who knew that it was time for a change and that they could trust me to help represent their values and their interests, even if we didn't agree on every issue. And I learned a tremendous amount from that effort, the most important one being, if you're elected as a representative, it's your job to represent everybody. It doesn't matter how they voted, doesn't matter if they agree with you on everything, but there are lots of issues at home that we all have to work together on if we're gonna be successful. And I took that to heart, and I'll take it to heart for Northern Wisconsin.
It certainly seems to be a message that would resonate right now in what is now the ninth hour of a shutdown of the federal government brought about by an unwillingness by the majority party to negotiate, even though they need Democratic votes to get anything done. So I'm sure with this shutdown, people would be asking, what would you do differently? What is it? What traits would you bring that might make it less likely that we see government shutdowns?
Yeah, the choice of Democrats right now is a very tough one, but I don't fault them for standing up. When you look at the brutal impact on middle class people across this country from a single policy of removing the subsidies for the Affordable Care Act, that's going to affect healthcare for millions of people. This is really their only point of leverage right now, but fundamentally, we've got to relook at how we budget and run the federal government. There is simply no reason that we should be going through this shutdown drama every 4 years when the parties can't agree on the most basic responsibility, which is how to run our governments. So I think we need to relook at the principles and procedures for federal budgeting. And that's the most basic thing we should be expecting from our Congress. We expect that from our state legislature. And for the most part, we get it.
Do the basics of funding then extend to putting a priority on things like health care rather than billionaire tax breaks? I guess what I'm saying is, right now, the Democrats in Congress are saying, look, negotiate with us if you need our votes, because we think you've gone too far in these health care cuts. And if you want our votes, they've got to be, restored or pared back. And Republicans are even refusing to negotiate. I don't think I have to go very hard to find out whether you think Congress should be taking more of its energy on providing for people's health care than providing for tax cuts for the rich.
It's incredible. Health care wasn't perfect a year ago. We still had a long way to go to provide the opportunity for basic health care for everyone, regardless of income. But the big, beautiful bill, as the president liked to call it, has a massive across-the-board impact on both the Medicaid cuts that are going to affect healthcare for the people who need it the most, as well as the Affordable Care Act subsidy removals, which is going to increase healthcare premiums by up to 75% or more for many people that are on the exchanges and the Affordable Care Act. That's the most massive transfer of wealth to billionaires that's ever occurred in the history of our federal government and our federal budgets. No, it's not acceptable. And no, no one should be voting to support a budget that fails Americans so badly and broadly.
We're talking to Fred Clark, former state assembly rep, who is now the Democratic candidate for Congress in the 7th Congressional District, all across the northern third of Wisconsin here. And let's get to the district itself and the things that proper representation can do for it. You've got an entire platform based on rebuilding the rural economy around, you know, our lakes and our forests and our towns. And we know that Tom Tiffany, as a congressman and prior to that in the state legislature, had the primary goal of getting mines operating in Wisconsin and expanding development that way. Okay, that's one mindset, is mining and development. Where's yours in terms of making sure that the rural economy across northern Wisconsin can be vibrant during your time in office?
Yeah, thanks, Pat. You know, so let's just look at what we have here in the north. The forests, the lakes, the rivers, the farms that make up this kind of piece of our world. You know, this is iconic Wisconsin. When the Department of Tourism wants to sell Wisconsin to out-of-state visitors, the North Woods is one of the major places that they go. If we want to maintain that, which also means maintaining the quality of life and the clean water and the clean air and the outdoor spaces that make this place what it is, we have to invest in that. From an economic development standpoint, we can chase big mines, you know, big holes in the ground. We can chase massive international businesses that we think are going to plop down, you know, big data centers and create jobs. But I think time after time and a lot of effort and experience has shown that you get a better bang for your buck by investing in local communities, local businesses, the sort of small and medium-sized businesses and the small farms and the forestry enterprises that are the bulk of employment and economic activity in northern Wisconsin. That's where we need to be making our investments. And as a policymaker, that's where I would absolutely reinvest and increase our investment to make sure that the businesses that are already here are able to thrive.
What about in terms of the trade war that Donald Trump has imposed on this country and on this economy, ostensibly to rebuild help out American manufacturing? To what degree do you feel like that is the right track or wrong track?
Oh, if you talk to farmers today throughout the Midwest, but including in Wisconsin, the trade war and this sort of ever-changing tariff war that, especially with China right now, is going to be a punch in the gut for farm producers. You know, if you're growing soybeans right now, you may have had a bumper crop this year and nowhere to go with it because China stopped buying American soybeans this year for the first time in a long time. And there simply are not markets for what we're producing today as we get near harvest time. And, you know, farmers have paid their own dollars in these checkoff funds for decades that have gone into marketing programs to help establish these markets. They're being wiped away by a tweet from our president who decides with almost no evidence that we're going to just start these tariff wars. It's hugely disruptive. We're all going to be paying for it.
The problem is that we've had a Congress that has abandoned its duties as a co-equal branch of government to provide some oversight, some guidance and things like that. And so I want to talk to you after the break about, you know, the role that you think Congress should have if Democrats were to take control in the midterms for the second half of President Trump's term. What are the things that could be done if not working with the president, then at least putting forth, you know, a better slate of ideas than what we've seen and the damage that has been done to the economy right now. We're talking to Fred Clark, former state assembly rep, who is also now a candidate for Congress in the 7th Congressional District here up north. We'll have more with Fred Clark and some final news and notes from Lake Wissota coming up in just a bit. Again, remember, you can follow my work over at upnorthnewswi.com. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy. In 2011, I founded Wesley Financial Group with one goal in mind, to help honest folks out of their timeshares permanently. Today, I run Wesley with my two sons, a real family business, treating every client and every employee like we'd want our own family treated. That philosophy has helped us grow into the largest, most trusted timeshare cancellation company in the United States. Fortune magazine even recognized us as one of the best places to work. Why? Because we genuinely care. In fact, some of our former clients were so moved by their experience working with us, they joined our team so they could help others to timeshare freedom. If you're stuck in a timeshare, give us a call. Let our family help your family.
Call Wesley now for your free timeshare exit kit. 800-549-8866. 800-549-8866. 800-549-8866.
Is violent crime in the U.S. higher than 25 years ago? No. Violent crime is lower nationally and in major cities than 25 years ago, according to FBI and Justice Department data. In 2023, cities with 250,000 or more people reported 771 violent crimes per 100,000 residents, down from 1,093 in 2000. Nationally, violent crime has stayed below 400 incidents per 100,000 residents for a decade, compared to about 500 in the late 1990s. Pew Research reported a 49% drop in violent crime, which includes murder, rape, robbery, and aggravated assault since 1993. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Keeping you connected to your local community with real news and great conversation. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
The fall agriculture tourism season is underway, and from apple orchards to pumpkin patches, it's a great time to travel across the state. But have you ever thought about camping on a farm? There is a push to make a new law allowing farmers to host up to 3 paying campers without a license. Supporters say it's needed to help diversify their incomes.
To allow people to put a tent up in a pasture and experience stargazing, stay overnight in the pasture, and have rustic camping when they're overnight for farm stays, pick up the eggs in the morning, have a farm breakfast.
That's Sheila Everhart with the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. You can learn more, including where to go this fall, at the website WIAGtourism.com. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Remember, you can follow Up North News on social media. We are on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Blue Sky, and the Dumpster Fire, formerly known as Twitter, where we've put the note that Fred Clark is a candidate for Congress now. The former state assembly rep is running in the 7th Congressional District up north, and we've been going over some of the issues that led Fred to decide to make this run for Congress, which will be an open seat now with Tom Tiffany running for governor. And we left off, Fred, talking about the Constitution, talking about the rule of law, talking about a Congress that, you know, for all of our lifetimes, even when it was of the same party as the president, still curbed any presidential excesses and provided some guardrails. And now we're seeing just a complete abdication of that oversight. How do you envision the role of Congress? First, if you were to win the majority next year in the second half of a Donald Trump term, but frankly, even if there were a Democratic president, talk more about your philosophy of what a member of Congress should actually be doing.
Yeah, well, all of us ought to take some time to read the Constitution. I reread it again this summer, and it doesn't take long to do, but the founders of this country, the framers of the Constitution, envisioned this sort of three-part government with the judiciary and the Congress and the executive branch being co-equal branches of government. And Congress actually should have most of the power in that relationship around how we run the federal government. And this year, our Congress has failed in most of that responsibility. You know, one is to budget funds for programs that are passed into law, along with the funding to support them. And the executive branch has a responsibility to fulfill those programs. This administration has failed to do that. And in fact, they've killed off entire programs that were congressionally authorized. That's wrong. Congress should stand up to oppose that. You know, this president's use of tariff power, which is only supposed to be an emergency authority for the executive branch, in creating this wild tariff war that changes daily depending on what the president may have had for breakfast in the morning. It's insane. It's making it impossible for businesses to invest with any stability of where their investment is going to return. And Congress has not stood up to stop that. I think what we have right now are, especially the Republicans in Congress, are basically running scared. They're afraid to stand up. They won't even oppose this administration on some of the most basic things because they're afraid of being tweeted at or attacked by this president. It's almost like you have to take a loyalty test to be in the Republican Party today. And that there's nothing more un-American than that.
Oh, it's not almost. I mean, we're just flat out right there at this point. Now, there is also the notion of border security and immigration, which are two things that are related, but you know they're not joined at the hip. You need to work differently on one than on another. And for example, in Wisconsin, we have such a reliance on migrant labor, especially on our farms, but also manufacturing and a host of other areas. And so when you've got a president with just a flat out anti-immigrant agenda, how do you address that while at the same time, you know, acknowledging that there is always room to improve security at our borders?
Yeah, it's such a complex issue, and it's so unfortunate that it's been beat into a political hot potato. And we absolutely need security at our border. And we need to be making smarter investments about that because a wall is not an effective form of really stopping illegal immigration. We can do that. And we need an aggressive, active role for federal law enforcement to go after lawbreakers, especially criminals. There's no question that needs to be a priority. But what's happening right now is that this administration and an entire segment of the Make America Great movement are demonizing immigrants across the board. And that is really harming hardworking, honest people who have come to this country to do important jobs that we need done because businesses need to hire them. They're supporting our economy, but importantly, they're also supporting families back home. And to see good, honest, hardworking people who want to be here legally hauled off of the streets and taken away without due process, or in many cases, deported to countries that aren't even their home country. That's morally wrong, and it's not making us safer.
We're talking to Fred Clark here, and just looking at some of the comments that have come in from PJ, the U.S. border is 1,500 miles away from Wisconsin. Let's worry about what's happening here in Wisconsin first. Adam says, I hope to see Fred Clark at the Three Lakes 4th of July parade next year. Tony says, please represent me. Joe on the text line in Superior says, Argentina is getting a $20 billion bailout from the Trump administration and taking our soybean market from American farmers. So literally taking our farmers' lunch money. And so there's more than a little bit of work that's going to be done, Fred, if you're able to capture this seat next year. Again, depending on who all gets in, there may be a primary next August to the general election in November of next year with an open field for Democrats and Republicans alike. But you've made the decision to get in. You've outlined where your positions are on some of the issues. And I don't doubt we'll be having a lot of conversations between now and Election Day, Fred. Thank you very much for joining us to make your announcement here on our program.
You bet, Pat. Thanks for having me. Thanks for being part of the kickoff today. And I'll look forward to seeing you again.
All right. Sounds good. And you can learn more about Fred's campaign at clarkforwi.com. That, again, is Clark, F-O-R-W-I.com. And, of course, he's got the Facebook page and everything else. And we'll continue to monitor this new race in the 7th Congressional District here up north. I'm Pat Kreitlow, hoping you enjoy the rest of your Wednesday as we get started with the month of October already. Hard to believe. Anyway, I'll be on the road tomorrow. I'll be checking in from new locations as I make the annual tour of daughters coming up. So I'll see you tomorrow morning from up north or somewhere, 6 a.m. tomorrow morning.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The federal government is shut down. Hundreds of thousands of federal workers now furloughed and not getting a paycheck. ABC's Rachel Scott covering developments in Washington.
The Department of Labor seeing 76% of its workforce temporarily reduced. At Health and Human Services, 41% of employees will be furloughed, including 64% of workers at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Members of the military also hit hard, many forced to work without a paycheck.
The FBI, the CIA, air traffic controllers, and TSA agents are all continuing to work. Part of a New York City high-rise has collapsed, leaving a corner of the building a pile of rubble. No immediate reports of injuries. Firefighters say they were responding to a report of a gas explosion that collapsed the incinerator shaft in the Bronx. Rescuers desperately searching for any survivors after a strong earthquake in the central Philippines that left at least 69 people dead. This is ABC News.